Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to part three of the Stompcast. We were just appreciating a pack of dogs just wandering by and saying actually about, you know, for your mental health and feeling better and living longer, then actually being, you know, having a dog or a cat in your life is not a bad thing, is it?
Oh yeah, no. We talked about that we're social animals, but, you know, and dogs and cats are, well, cats are fairly social, but dogs are very social. But, you know, I have a cat and it's great company.
It's a brilliant way, I think, to feel connected with another being. And I it's odd that, you know, I saw like a video on TikTok the other day, maybe last mile a bit, and it was saying that, you know, you spend a lifetime with this dog, 10, 12 years or whatever it would be, and you never share one word together, and yet you understand each other almost all of the time.
Beyond thinking, beyond talking, yeah.
It's an incredible connection.
And we've co-evolved with dogs for, what, 40,000 years as well, so we... You know, we've been together on an evolutionary journey since we domesticated dogs, so there's a deep connection.
God, that is a thought, isn't it? Well, I'd like to talk in this third part about kind of the science of mental fitness and a little bit of how science can play a role in mental fitness, but what the science is behind that. You know, can we build... I mean, my answer to this, I hope you're going to agree with me, I'm deeply passionate that we can build mental fitness, and that not only will help you in terms of resilience towards struggles and your ability to cope with struggles, but also make them at least to some extent less likely, or some of those struggles less likely, by being mentally fit. So what is the science, you know, from your perspective and your research?
Yeah, there's lots of, I think in order to answer that question, I think we kind of have to step back a little bit from the research literature that is just about like particular disorders, because we've talked a little bit about particular kind of presentations.
Sure.
There's evidence from lots of different areas, and I think it's important to take a pluralistic approach. So, you know, lots of people with lots of scientists and researchers and clinicians from different orientations have a lot to say and a lot of really, really important stuff to say. There's a psychological literature which is about how you get out of a particular hole, whether it's kind of PTSD or if it's depression and anxiety. And then there's other literature, sociological literature and even philosophy, which is about, you know, leading a rich and fulfilling life, and we've talked about so much of that stuff. I mean, all the stuff that we have talked about that today, there is very good evidence for, which is that, you know, if you can learn a particular way of thinking about yourself and the world, have compassion for yourself and kindness, and be in a context that is nourishing, so your relationships and your employment and so on, and have meaning and purpose. There's great evidence, though. Those sound soft, I think, to some people, but there's actually really good evidence that those things, you know, do not just prevent mental disorders, but also lead to a kind of a richer and stronger and more fulfilling life and make you more resilient.
And I think that what I find, it almost actually brings us back, I love the full circles, to how we started this podcast, talking a little bit about the current healthcare system being kind of disease model, and the outcome that we're looking for a lot of the time is to reduce the burden of disease.
Yeah.
But actually, for most individuals, families, and if you talk about, say, your brother or your sister or your partner or your friends, you don't want just people to be disease-free. You want them to be healthy and happy. And that sometimes is kind of... It's easy to forget that amongst when we talk about like public health stuff, is that how do we feel healthier and happier, whether that is because you want to have certain hobbies and you want to be fit because you want to do whatever sport, or you just want to be going through life feeling peaceful. So what things do you think people can really focus on when it comes to building that mental fitness? I mean, we talk about mindfulness as one of those, and of course, you know, again, you know, you're a clinical lead at Metal, and obviously we deeply believe that spending time using technology that is appropriate and that is helpful, like ours and so on, to work on things like meditation, mind hacking and breath work can have a positive impact. So what do you see in the benefit of things like meditation and mindfulness, and how does that fit in with other things that we could be doing each day?
Yeah, great. Each of them work together. So in the same way that, you know, you can become unwell because you have this, we talked about a vicious cycle with all these components in it, you also get better because of a virtuous cycle with all these components in it. Mindfulness is very popular, and the only problem with mindfulness is when people think it's the solution for everything, you know. Mindfulness is like a spanner. Like, you can't do DIY without a spanner, but you also can't do all your DIY with a spanner.
You need a screwdriver.
You need a hammer, you need all that stuff. So, I mean, mindfulness is a wonderful thing because people aren't familiar with that way of being, which is a way of just attending to the present moment, and people are stuck up in their heads or they're angry or whatever. So I think that is a very useful tool in your toolkit, along with all of the other things that we've talked about. So mindfulness is a way of navigating your kind of moment-to-moment experience that's better than a lot of the other ways that we tend to do, which might be like looking at your phone, or it might be getting stuck feeling resentful about the way you were treated, or it might be ruminating, or it might be just thinking about what a piece of crap you are and, oh God, I'm worthless. So mindfulness is a way of navigating that. Other ways of navigating that are all the things we've talked about, you know, so, attending to the people around you and your relationships, doing things that are values-based. I'm working on a values module for metal at the moment, because I think it's something that people aren't even aware is a thing, you know, that if you think about what your values are and you spend your life kind of moving towards them, then you have a life that has kind of momentum and meaning in a way that you don't if you don't pay attention to those things. There are some mechanisms in mental ill health that we haven't really talked about that are kind of physiological, you know, around like panicky feelings that come up in your body, or, you know, posture and slouching, or, you know, being sedentary, we have touched on a little bit. And so there are also things that people can do, like day to day, moment to moment, that are about just like paying attention to how you treat your body. Breathwork is one of the approaches that metal takes to that. And also thinking about, like, your body is constantly in a balance between getting ready for stuff and danger. You know, your sympathetic nervous system gets you ready for stuff. Sometimes danger, but sometimes excitement, you know. The other thing that is helpful often for people with anxiety is that this insight that excitement and anxiety are physiological, kind of the same. They're physiologically identical. What's different is the story you tell about it, right? So if your body is like ready for something, you could say, oh no, I'm going to fail, I'm going to make a fool of myself. Or you could say, oh my God, this is so exciting. So there's something about like interpretation of what's going on in your body, but also about learning how to turn the dial down on your sympathetic nervous system, you know, your fight or flight, it's often called, by things like breath work, connection, right? Talking to somebody turns down your, if it's a good connection.
Laughing.
Oh man, laughing, so important. Humor and laughing. That's like one of my top five values, fun and humor, you know, being like a child, you know. A lot of people aren't good at that, right? They think that that's not serious. It's not adult. You know,
so what's interesting is that when you look at what it means to be a child, if we actually were more childlike more of the time, we'd probably all be quite a lot happier. Like, children look at the world outwardly, interesting, exploring, trying, curious. Playing, curious. Yeah. They generally look to laugh at things. They try to connect with others. They often don't worry about the social barriers of, oh, should I say hello to this person?
100%.
And as we get older, we become stiffer. We become more soloist in our being, and we become so serious.
Yeah, I often think that, like, psychology and psychiatry, I mean, it's important to note that if we were having a conversation about schizophrenia and bipolar, it would be a very different conversation, right? That there's serious mental illness, and the type of mental health that we're talking about are different.
We're talking about mental well-being.
Well-being and common mental disorders, kind of that end of the spectrum. But we have to learn how to be kind of, you know, emotionally unwell, you know. And you're right, kids are curious and they go out and they explore the world and they're, you know, they connect with each other naturally. So I think you're exactly right. Interestingly, one of the ways of thinking about the psychedelic experience is that it's what it's like to be a child.
Oh, God,
it's weird. So it's disorienting. You're either laughing or you're crying. You know, it's very intense. And that also, that it opens up a critical learning window for change is like what it's like to be a child. Mm. You know, children learn super quick. And can change super quickly and adapt. So I think that's really important.
Hold up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, I wonder if also we're talking about mental fitness. Like, what do you define being mentally fit as? Because, you know, it's impossible to expect that we can be absent of any suffering. I mean,
yeah.
That would be impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got people around you that you love and care about. Like, we talk about dogs, right?
Yeah.
You know, Rolo is 2 years old. My dog, I hope everything everyone would agree, would be pretty concerning if I didn't outlive Rolo. So it means that I'm probably going to see him pass.
Yeah.
So there's going to be pain and suffering. So it can't be the absence of pain and suffering. So what does being mentally fit mean, do you think?
So that's a great question. And I think that there is a misapprehension, I think, that is very common, which is that pain is bad and suffering is bad. If you think about the opioid crisis, right? You know, so when I was in medical school, pain is the sixth vital sign was taught on our medical curriculum. And that was Sackler Family advertising a campaign that had somehow made its way into a medical curricula. And the Sackler family, they said, oh, you know, nobody should ever be in pain. Mm. You know, so everyone should get opioids forever. You know, and now we have the opioid crisis and hundreds of thousands of people have died. And there's a bit of an analogy there where I think people avoid pain and suffering and think that pain and suffering will inevitably damage them or harm them. But there's a difference between pain and harm, or discomfort and harm. And actually, if you look at adults who are really stable, happy and resilient, they often went through tough things when they were kids, but they were protected by things around them. So actually it's the hard things that make us stronger. When you go to the gym, you don't lift the lightest possible weight, you know?
No.
But of course, if you lift a weight that's too big, you injure yourself. So there is a balance there. And so I think if people have an awareness that hard things can make them stronger, if approached right, I think that's one important, just slightly different way of seeing the world. Mm. And it also means that we will be able to have more robust and respectful debates, right, when people have political disagreement. Because you're not harmed necessarily by the thing the other person says. You know, you can hear things that are offensive to you or difficult, but you can talk about them and come to some common understanding. So I think that's kind of one thing. The how to navigate experiences of pain and suffering skillfully is all the stuff that we're talking about. Like, so mindfulness is one approach of doing that. Reframing, which is a kind of a CBT type approach. There's this sort of acceptance and kind of mindfulness approach that, you know, in different types of therapy. Lots of different schools of therapy that have to offer, that each have something really important, and they have different ways of kind of approaching it, which might be useful in different situations. So, but, you know, I think that resilience is partly about the way you kind of deal with what life throws at you, and it's partly about what you have around you.
And it's, you know, for me, I think, you know, I look, when I visit a lot of schools, and I speak with obviously teachers and parents and things, and young people as well. And the thing that I feel most passionate about is that, you know, building up this kind of mental fitness and resilience, it's not about bubble wrapping people.
No.
It's not about removing them from things that are going to be hard, because reality is the world, you said it a little at the start, I think, I don't know, it was part two or part three, but that the world is a very difficult place right now.
Yeah.
And you can't hide, and actually you'd be causing more harm by hiding them from it. But
yeah,
by actually building and focusing on these kind of important parts of the fitness and resilience, it's like it's creating a population that can actually deal with and overcome challenges. It's not about hiding them for. And I actually had a lot of initial challenges, I'd say, more than anything when I started. And the role as youth mental health ambassador with certain schools of thought that were like, if we teach this to our children, we'll make them weak and incapable, or we'll make them into kind of, you know, you hear the snowflake generation stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of deeply frustrating, because it's like, well, that example I used was like, well, when we started doing sexual health education and condom use education, did we have more pregnancies and STIs? Yeah. Or do we have, well, of course, yeah. we know that it was had a beneficial effect.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, yeah, we want to do the stuff because it will help, not because we think it will.
Yeah, hinder. Yeah, yeah, that's right. There's a heuristic, you know, which is a sort of like a simple rule that I think is helpful for people. This was my, you said, fact of the day. So this
yeah,
is
well,
my,
let's
this is my
fact of the right point yeah. of health fact of the week.
Fact of the week. It's not exactly a fact. It's like a rule of thumb.
That's which, close enough to fact.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
and if people are wondering, you know, is something a good idea or a bad idea? My heuristic is, are you going towards something or are you going away from something? If you're going towards something, it's probably a good idea. If you're going away from something, it's probably a bad idea. So take an example like drinking alcohol. If you're drinking alcohol in moderation because, you know, when you do it, you're around friends and connection and you meet people and you have enjoyment, you're going towards something. If you're doing it because you kind of have a deep sense of emptiness and trying to get away from yourself, then it's probably a bad idea. And I think it's a great way of thinking about, like, should I do this thing that's like hard, or should I do this thing that's uncomfortable or difficult, or should I do the thing that's fun and enjoyable? Well, are you desperately trying to get away from yourself, or are you going towards like meaning and connection and joy? And I think it's a good rule of thumb.
That's a fantastic rule of thumb. Would you agree, Charlie? We got nods there with a thumbs up, actually. No, that's amazing. That's really powerful. Actually, do you know what brilliantly explains, you know, whether you feel that your relationship with alcohol is actually a healthy one or not, right? Yeah. It's like, what are you doing it for?
Yeah.
Moving towards a better place or point of socializing or whatever it is, or you're just doing it. You know, for me, it was about trying to push down grief.
Yeah.
Socializing. Yeah. So then when yeah. I was younger, at med
that's
school,
right.
it was all about connecting and going,
yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
fun. And then it was like, oh no, I'm just trying to bury stuff.
Yeah.
But the same tool, different reason,
that's right.
different outcome.
And you know, any decision, like should I get back with my ex?
Mm.
Well, are you desperately afraid of being lonely mm. and you're running away from something? Do you actually really love your ex and you want to make it work? Then you're going towards something. Mm. So often these kind of hard things, that's what I ask people to think about. Are you going towards the future and growth and meaning and purpose and love and connection? Or are you desperately running away from something else?
Well, what a beautiful note to end part three of the Stompcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. And
well, thank you
so
much.
We're so glad to have you.
Oh, it was lovely.
Have you here, have you, you know, with us and Metal and what we're trying to achieve. Like, I'm sure you agree with me. We're really proud of what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
Do things a different way. And I think tech can actually have a great solution. So thank you for that as well. Everyone will see you. On Behind the Stompcast, if you head over to Apple Podcasts, you can click through and listen to our reaction to this conversation. We'll have a bit of a natter. Abs will complain about something. Abs, are you going to complain about something this week? We're happy. She's thinking about it at the moment. She's thinking about it. So we'll see you all on Behind the Stompcast. But take care of yourself. Look after yourself. And if you are interested in checking out Metal, you can download it. You can give it a try for free. It's for it's a mental fitness app for men. But actually, I've had loads of women message me as well saying, actually, I really like it. Straight to the point. We enjoy using it as well. So just check it out. See what you think. No pressure at all. And again, big thanks to you. What are you going to do with your weekend now? What's your plans?
I'm going to pop back to Dublin for a couple of days to see my family. And
beautiful.
Then I'll be back next week.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful weekend and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks.
Take
for
care, everyone,
me.
And goodbye.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.